because you're a Christian. The only thing he respects is the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that he's subject to is Jesus Christ and the Word. He come to get the Word. You read the parable of the sower. He comes to get the Word. He ain't scared of Greg Tejada. He's scared of the Word that Greg will get on the inside of him. That Word has to live in you and abide in you. Everybody say, I got to get the Word on the inside. You see, a part of being a Christian is that you have to allow God to take this Word off these pages and let him lodge them down in your spirit. If they would make reading your Bible illegal and took all the Bibles away, would you have any Word to live on? Some people wouldn't have enough Word to live on. They wouldn't know nothing. They wouldn't know nothing about God's will or anything because they don't have no Word on the inside. All of us need to study the Word. We need to read the Word. We have daily Bible reading calendar that I gave all y'all at the beginning of the year. Dust them off, okay? Dust them off, get them back out, start reading again. See, that's a good habit to develop. Now, when the reading is by itself is not going to renew your mind, but reading is a starting point. Amen? Because you got to get into meditation. And then you got to believe and mix faith with what you read, meditate, and study. You got to mix faith with the Word. Everybody say mix faith with it. Faith. So you're not just reading just like you read a magazine. You know how you read a magazine, you read the story, and you get up and you leave, you don't even think about it no more? You can't do the Bible that way. You have to mix faith with what you've read. Everybody tell your neighbor, say you got to mix faith with the Word. Now, how many of y'all already know that? And look at how many of y'all already knew that you got to mix faith with the Word. Now, when was the last time you mixed faith with what you read? See, just reading is not going to get it by itself. You got to take what you read and then meditate on it and then, I mean, put it into practice. You got to mix faith with it. And one way you mix faith with it is you got to confess the Word. Hebrews 10:23. Says, hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. So a lot of Christians don't even have a confession of faith to hold fast to. A confession of faith is a promise that you have believed that hadn't materialized yet. That's why it's a confession of faith, because it hadn't happened yet. But most believers, now I'm not talking about in this church here, but a lot of believers everywhere, they don't have no confession of faith at all. They're not believing God for things that haven't happened yet. All they're doing is reporting the weather. Just talking about the circumstances and what's going on. But not having a faith declaration of what's going to be. You got to confess the Word. How you doing on confession? How often do I confess the Word, Pastor? Every day. Why? Because the devil talking to you every day. Anybody in here ever got a break from the devil? Anybody in here the devil just take off a day? He there every day trying to trip you up. So you have to be consistent and you have to be diligent in that Word. He's trying to put your light out. And he can't do it unless he can take the Word from you. The Word is a lamp for your feet, a light unto your path. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, Matthew 4:4, in both of them, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? That's what we're supposed to live by. So I'm asking you, are you living by the Word? Are you letting the Word guide your daily life?
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my new book titled Praying Colossians 1. I'm excited about this new book because it teaches you how to pray the Colossians 1 prayer in a way that is practical, insightful, and relevant for our lives today and guaranteed to get results. You will pray the perfect will of God and be able to put into practice the principles that are outlined in this prayer. You will also increase your faith and experience a closer walk with the Lord. Your prayer life will never be the same again. To obtain your copy of my new book, Praying Colossians 1, go to our website, www.thewordcc.com or amazon.com. Or you can obtain a copy by calling 318-442-8100, and we'll get it sent to you right away. The book is available for $7.95. Order your copy today, Praying Colossians 1. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you for another opportunity to hear your word and to heed your word. Reveal the principles that we may practice for profit, giving you all the praise and the glory for you showing yourself big in our lives, for you being the only wise and true God who can do anything but fail. We thank you now. Open up our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say. Open up our spiritual eyes that we might see what you're bringing us through. Open up our spiritual hearts that we might feel and become closer to thee. And God will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Can somebody just give the Lord a shout of praise today? Glory. Bless him. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, recorded are these words. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, God is stretching you for success. God is stretching you for success. Peter is well qualified and able to share with us this word today because Peter, one whom the Lord saw as a small stone as a little rock who knew the greatness that would be done in a yielded life, is able to speak both divinely and experientially about this issue of stretching you. There are times that we go through things that we don't always understand. There are times we go through things that just don't make no sense. There are times we go through things that hurt us and seem to hinder us, but the truth of the matter is, in the bigger picture, they're helping us. And you've got to understand the divine word, will, and way of God to know that God always does what's in your best interest. Peter shares this word with us, and verse 8, he talks about being sober and being vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And then he goes on in verse 9 to tell us whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what Peter was really saying was, listen, don't get caught off guard. Be watchful, be mindful, understand that the devil is on his job. But the devil, listen, can't do any more than God allows him to. And if you are mindful of this reality, you won't freak out when trouble comes. You won't lose your mind and you won't give up control because the enemy seems to be causing havoc in your life. You will understand that the end result is that God is stretching you for your success. I know it doesn't feel good. I've been, by my therapist, being stretched. Muscles not being used, tighten up on you, and don't give free flow and flexibility. So they have to stretch you before a workout. And sometimes the stretching is more painful than the work. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And so sometimes I like to say, listen, let's skip the stretching and go on into the workout. And then they tell me, no, you can hurt yourself worse in the workout if you don't stretch yourself. And so God helps us to understand in this word through Peter's experience and through the word he's given to Peter that stretching is good for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stretching is good for you. It may not feel good, but it's good for you. Yeah, just stretch yourself. You'll see, you'll see. Look at what he says. And after he tells the believers, the church of God, the ecclesia, about the issues that they're dealing with because Satan is after them and Satan is causing them to go through things, he says, don't think you're going through it alone. You've got brothers and sisters all over the world who's going through some of the same stuff you're going through, and you think you can't make it? Let me give you some help. There are others who've been through worse than you who have come through. And you've got to know you too will come through if you understand this stretching process. Then verse 10 says, he says, but the God, after he gets through with the troubles and the problems and the enemy and all that's going on, he says, but the God of all grace, that's abundant grace, that's amazing grace. He said that's all grace. And when you look at grace and understand grace, it literally means every favor and benefit of the Lord. All grace. Grace comes in many forms. But here's what you need to know. All of it comes from God. Somebody say all grace.
All grace.
Whatever you need today, if God grants it to you, it's grace. He gives you favor that is unmerited, benefits that are unmerited. You don't get grace because you deserve it. It's not even warranted. It's not even worthy. You're not worthy of it. It's not something that you deserve or earn. It's because God is gracious. And because he's gracious, he extends grace to you. If you've ever known a gracious person, the words that come out of their mouth are gracious. Their mannerisms are gracious. The way they handle you, gracious. The way they do things, gracious. And God is a gracious God. And that's why we benefit from his grace. The favor is what we like to think about, because when we think about the favor of God, and it's been so properly said that favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. No, neither is grace. Neither are the benefits of God. How many times have you honestly gotten stuff you didn't deserve? Been blessed with doors that were opened up for you that should have been opened up for somebody else? Come on, talk to me. How many times you got a seat you wasn't supposed to sit in? How many times when you were common and got VIP treatment? How many times you paid for coach and got first class? Free. Now some of you are like, not me, Reverend. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about in life. So many times through the favor and grace of God who benefits us and each day loads us up with his benefits. Grace, the God of all grace. Now look at what he says, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He and Jesus are collectively working together here to bring you to that place of wholeness, eternal salvation that he desired, that no man would be lost. And Jesus Christ picked up on that desire, came and sacrificed himself, gave himself for whosoever will to come into a right relationship with God the Father. It is this relationship that God the Father share that blesses us to be able to be partakers. And so because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, God gives to us his best. He has called us unto his eternal glory. Not temporary. Not here today, gone tomorrow. But eternal, everlasting glory. And my brothers and sisters, that's shouting news right there. That shout. We don't always shout on the right thing. We shout for the wrong reason sometimes. But can I tell you, just like when the disciples came back to Jesus and they were excited about casting out demons and about demons trembling in Jesus' name, they got all excited because they were used. Jesus said, yeah, that's all fine and good. He said, but you know what you really ought to be excited about? You ought to really be excited about your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you ought to really be excited about. Because listen, you didn't do nothing about that. God did it. And you are what you are by the grace of God. And so that's what you ought to lock hold on and look at and thank God for. So he's called us unto his eternal glory by, through, no man coming to the Father but by me, Jesus said. There is no relationship with God except through the entrance of Jesus Christ. He's got to introduce you to the Father for the Father to even have a word with you. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He's not taking your call. He won't answer your call. He won't open the door until Jesus does it for you. By Christ Jesus. Now notice here, because it transitions in this verse to our focus of stretching. After that ye have suffered a while. Now wait a minute. I'm saved and I have eternal glory with God through Christ Jesus. And you mean I've got to suffer? Wait a minute. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I am a child of the King, but you tell me I've got to suffer? Peter, learn this. The closer you are to God, the more you're going to suffer. See, if folk talk about, I want a closer walk with thee. Yeah, the closer you walk to Jesus, the more you begin to look like Jesus. The more you begin to look like Jesus, the more the enemy attacks you. Listen, but his grace protects you. Every attack the enemy brings against you, God's grace protects you. The more you go through, the more he gives you grace. The difficult, more difficult your trials and tribulations are, the more grace he releases in your life. In other words, every time the devil turns up the heat, he turns on the air. He'll let you be in a fiery furnace that's air conditioned. Y'all not hearing me here today. Just know his grace is sufficient. All of us want to go to, but we don't want to go through. No, he's saying in order to go to, you're going to have to go through. And if you're like David, you can say, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Grace. Grace. And so I now reset my thinking to understand that the closer I get to God, the more challenges I'm going to have. But the more grace will be given to me. Listen at this now. After that ye have suffered a while. And that word suffered means to be vexed. But I looked at it a little deeper. And it means to be vexed till you affect it. I didn't say infected, I said affected. In other words, you've got to suffer enough till you feel it. That's why they say suffer a while. Because you might go through something and you're going through it and you think you're strong and your resistance is up and your immune system is healthy and you ain't got to go through, now I don't feel this, well keep on, because you got to keep going through it till you feel it. Now, what was interesting is that suffered for a while after ye have suffered a while is so that you might be affected to the point where you're pliable. Bendable. That God can do something with you without breaking you. See, there are some things that would break unless you put it under the heat. And the heat softens it. And when it softens it, it allows it to be stretched. And y'all not talking to me like you know what I'm talking about. And so God allows you to go through some stuff that brings some heat that softens you up so that it affects you, so that it loosens you up, so that he can stretch you out. But all of this is for your greater good. If he stretched you like you are, you'd break. Break. It's like a fresh cracker. Yeah. You break right under the pressure. But listen at what the word says. After I have been affected and vexed, what it does is prepares me for change. See, God has got to let you suffer enough where you say, Lord, anything is better than this. See, some of us are in some stuff that ain't got bad enough yet. It's going to get bad and worse than it is until you say enough. Yeah, is enough. Until you say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, do what you want. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give up. Lord, I give myself to you. After ye have suffered a while. How long is a while? This is what I love the answer come back. A measure in time. So here's what you need to know. Your measure may be different from my measure. But the measure is always in connection with the effect. How long does it take for you to have an effect? So that means if you hardcore and you think you all of that and you can't be bent or broken, God said you're going to be in there a while. Yes, indeed. Until you start saying, I've been in the storm too long. Lord, too long. See, now he ready to come on out now. Because he was acting like he was having a vacation on the, you know, stormy seashores. No, not until you've been affected and vexed to the point and place where you are ready to submit and surrender your will to God's will. And after you have come through that, that's just the preparatory stages. That's just getting you ready. Do you realize trials and tribulations and heartaches and pains and all of those things are just getting ready for God to use you? They're just making you ready for God to handle you. They aren't the things that God is doing with you. They're just the things that's preparing you to be dealt with. After that ye have suffered a while. See, like the psalmist said, after you've been through some stuff, then your worship becomes real. Whole lot of you playing church right now. But wait till you've suffered a little bit. Wait till you've gone through some stormy days and nights. Wait till you've cried till you can't cry no more. Wait until your heart beats like it's beating out your body and it's hurting with pain. Wait until you've gone through some stuff, and then you'll be able to worship him in a real sense because you know what he's brought you through. Stretching you for success. Here's where God starts. That he makes you. You don't do this to yourself. Perfect. Another word for the word perfect you can put right here is special. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm special. I know as you look at him, you might be saying, I'm glad you acknowledge that. No, I'm talking about a godly special. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Perfect. Make you perfect. But another translation and understanding of the word perfect is this. Make you fit. Fit. When I looked that up and I saw the word fit, he's causing me to go through, allowing me to go through all of this suffering until I am affected where I am pliable and soft enough to be stretched to make me